We've talked a lot about Darren Indyke on the program and how he was very much involved with Jeffrey Epstein and the day-to-day operations of the criminal enterprise. In tonight's article, we're going to add a little more context to that. And this article is going to explain how Darren Indyke and the pattern of transactions made from Deutsche Bank signal the patterns of somebody who is engaging in money laundering. We've talked about CTRs here. We've talked about different ways that the government has to keep an eye on these sorts of transactions. And when I say CTR, I mean cash transaction reporting. So the government has all of these guidelines in place to make sure that money laundering doesn't occur. And Deutsche Bank and Darren Indyke and Jeffrey Epstein, obviously, ignored all of those rules. And it looks like Darren Indyke was engaging in something called structuring. And what structuring is when you withdraw money from the bank in increments that do not trigger you to have to sign CTR paperwork or for it to be a CTR type of transaction. And that would be anything over $10,000. So $10,000 and 1 cent makes it a CTR transaction. So what you do if you're trying to structure from, let's say, a sports wagering perspective, because in the sports books, it's the same deal. You have to keep track of what these players are wagering. And anytime $10,000 goes across the counter in one transaction or multiple, it has to be CTR'd. So what will happen is you'll have people that try and do something called structuring, where they'll make sure that the $10,000 is never coming across the counter one way or the other. And when you notice a pattern of people trying to do that, you SARC them. Suspicious activity report. And the bank, they have the same mechanisms in place to try and stop money laundering. And Deutsche Bank and other financial institutions, by the way, were looking the other way when Jeffrey Epstein and his minions like Darren Indyke were engaging in this bit of smurfing. So let's jump into our article from Law and Crime. And let's add a little bit more meat to the bone here and some more context to the money laundering angle. This article is from Law and Crime. The headline, Brutal Rebuke of Deutsche Bank Raises Serious Questions About One of Jeffrey Epstein's Lawyers. This article was authored by Jerry Lamb on July 7th of 2020. Deutsche Bank on Tuesday agreed to a $150 million settlement over its relationship with since-deceased sex offender, pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein, shining a light on the German-based bank's consistent failure to comply with financial regulations concerning millions of dollars of suspicious transactions. And it's not just Jeffrey Epstein who was using this bank, right? We know that a lot of these billionaire types of people were using Deutsche Bank or are still using it. A lot of Russian oligarchs, Donald Trump had money there. A lot of these billionaires used this bank. And I said from the very outset, if the American Congress was serious about looking into Trump and if he did have any kind of relationship with the Russians, it would have been through the financials, not the way they went about it. And Deutsche Bank is the common denominator here, though, folks. That's what's really important. Deutsche Bank seems to always be embroiled in some sort of money laundering scheme or financial irregularities, as they like to call it. For me or you, that's money laundering or, you know, washing our money or avoiding taxes. For me or you, forget it. We're going to prison. End of story. These guys, they don't even get in trouble. Their bankers get clipped with a fine. But the details contained in the blunt consent order between the bank and New York State financial regulators may potentially provide prosecutors with a new route for unearthing vital information pertaining to Epstein's alleged criminal network. And this is what I've been talking about from the jump, right? When I talk about RICO and I talk about financial forensic accountants, That's what you need. You need financial forensic accountants digging into all of these transactions. They need to find the origin of where the transactions originated from, and they need to find the destination. And every single person who is involved in facilitating these transactions or fattening their pocket from these transactions needs to be caught up in this RICO investigation, just like anybody else would be. Again, that's all I'm talking about here. Fairness under the law. One law for everybody. I don't care if you're a big banker at one of these stupid ass large banks. I don't care if you're Jeffrey Epstein. I don't care if you're the ice cream man. Everybody should get a fair shake if they get in trouble or if they got to go before a judge. The deck shouldn't be stacked against the common man or the common woman, where people like Jeffrey Epstein and his big buddies at Deutsche Bank just get a slap on the wrist. According to the agreement, an unnamed personal attorney working for Epstein made 97 separate cash withdrawals from Epstein's accounts at the same Manhattan location between 2013 and 2017. An unnamed personal attorney, huh? I'll give you guys one guess, okay? I'm gonna go out on a limb here, and I'm guessing this limb that I'm out on is pretty strong. It's going to be Darren Indyke who was involved in all of this. We know he was handling the day-to-day operations for Jeffrey Epstein from a legal standpoint. We know that it was Darren Indyke who was the bag man. We know all of this. His name was all over, littered all over documentation. And you think Jeffrey Epstein would have somebody involved in his smurfing scheme, his structuring plot? That he couldn't trust somebody that wasn't ironclad and already locked into the conspiracy? Come on, folks. The transactions, which occurred 2 to 3 times per month, were all in the amount of $7,500, Deutsche Bank's limit for third-party withdrawals. So basically, he was acting as Indyke, who we're speculating was the lawyer here. He was acting as a third-party agent for Jeffrey Epstein. Now, again, in the financial sector, so far as the sportsbook world, we have the same thing. Somebody can act as your agent and wager on your behalf if all of the proper documentation is filled out. And if that documentation is not filled out and you're giving somebody money to wager on your behalf, well, it is technically illegal. And the same goes here, right? If you're going to act as an agent for somebody, there are certain guidelines that must be followed. And I mean, I'm shocked that they even followed the $7,500 guidelines. I guess they didn't want to trigger FinCEN too much, so they had to, you know, sprinkle a little bit of truth in with their lies. Under federal regulations, banks and other financial institutions must file currency transaction reports with the U.S. Treasury Department when there are cash transactions with an individual in excess of $10,000 in one day. And that's what I was talking to you about just a second ago as far as the sports book goes. So, you know, I would deal with that quite a bit. The sports book I worked for, we would take huge, gigantic wagers. It was nothing for me to take $100,000 or more on a football game on a Thursday night. So I was dealing with a lot of big money. And anytime $10,000 went over the counter one way or the other, well, we had ourselves a CTR situation. And if I missed a CTR or one of them didn't get filed and something occurred, forget it. It was a big deal. It was a serious transgression. Gaming would get involved, and it would become a big, serious situation. So the fact that Deutsche Bank was able to get away with shit like this and let it fly under the radar, I just don't understand how that could happen unless they had people directing their auditing team to do so. Because that's what happens, right? At the end of the night, at least from the sports book, everything gets packed away, sent up to auditing. They go over it and they look for discrepancies. And if you screwed up, you'll get notified in the morning. And I'm sure it's the same within this banking system. Breaking up transactions to avoid the CTR reporting is a criminal offense commonly referred to as structuring, the agreement stated. And that's exactly what it is. Again, I dealt with it quite a bit when I was working in the financial sector, sports gaming, and it was a big problem, right? You had a lot of people trying to game the system. They don't want their names in this database. They certainly don't want to fill out the government paperwork, right? They don't want to fill out that W-9. They don't want to give over their ID and their social. So they have to fill out that W-9 if they don't have their SOCH, and forget it, it becomes a whole thing. I can't tell you how many arguments I got into with customers who did not want to pony up the proper documentation. You would think if somebody won 10 grand and a few bucks more would want to pony up whatever sort of documentation that's coming your way, right? If you're going to get that kind of dough, but these people were resistant. And you can't explain CTR to them. It's illegal while I'm at work for me to explain to you how to structure a bet or how to structure a money laundering move. So there was a lot of things that had to occur. And we weren't able to get into the particulars with the customers, and that really launched them into orbit. We had these little cards we could hand out that explained what Title 31 was. I swear to you, I shit you not. As attorney Adrian Lawrence noted, this type of conduct is a classic indicator of money laundering. And there's a tweet embedded into the article by this lawyer, Adrian Lawrence. During one period, Epstein made 97 cash withdrawals of $7,500. Now, why would you make the withdrawals at $7,500? Why wouldn't you just make them for the $10,000? Why wouldn't you make them for $3,600? So it's $7,500 at a clip. Why don't you just transfer that money? Because they're trying to deal in cash. And of course, you can't trace cash the way you can digital transactions and money transfers. So of course, they want to make sure that cash is the king. And that's how they roll. Making numerous cash transactions beneath the $10,000 reporting threshold is called smurfing, an indicator of money laundering. Deutsche Bank was on notice, but it evidently looked away. And again, look, I find it hard to believe that everybody missed the signs that this was obvious money laundering and, at the very least, Title 31 CTR violations. That alone should have triggered a huge investigation. It should have triggered all kinds of action on the part of the authorities. But at Deutsche Bank, they obviously didn't care, right? They were ignoring it because it's not just, you know, for instance, you have several lines of defense for things like this. At the end of the day, it ends up in auditing, and auditing goes through everything with a fine-tooth comb, and they're supposed to be the people who find these indiscretions and then call down to the bank and say, what in the F is going on? But it looks like none of that occurred here. And that Darren Indyke, allegedly, was able to be involved in about 97 transactions in just one period where he was structuring the withdrawals. The term smurfing refers to a common structuring technique where a money launderer employs individuals or smurfs to make unlawful transactions. Now, in my industry, we call them beards. And a beard is somebody who comes in and wagers for somebody who we call a sharp. Now, a sharp is somebody who has a very good track record against the book, or somebody who has perhaps found a way to game the system, or whatever the circumstances may be, their action is no longer welcomed with the book. So what they do is they employ somebody called a beard, and that person acts as if it was their money. And they are the ones who come and wager and collect and pay into their accounts, whatever it may be. Which is not legal, by the
way. It's that time.
Furthermore, on at least two occasions, Epstein's attorney also inquired how he could withdraw cash on behalf of Mr. Epstein without triggering an alert. That is so insanely out of bounds when it comes to a financial institution. The fact that he even asked, he should have been sarked right there. Suspicious activity report. It should have went into the FinCEN database, and the alarm should have been buzzed up high, because this is what I was just talking about. You can't help somebody's structure. You can't give them tips on how to beat Title 31. And that's what he was asking Deutsche Bank to do. And obviously it was on two separate occasions, and the people told somebody, because we're hearing about it here, but nothing occurred. Epstein's accounts should have been frozen that moment. Former federal prosecutor Hanato Mariotti, a CNN legal analyst, pointed out that prosecutors in the Southern District of New York could very likely use this information against this unnamed lawyer to make him cooperate with their investigation into Epstein's other associates. Now, remember, this dude, I'm speculating, is Darren Indyke. And if that's the case, he's an executor of the estate. After all we've learned about Darren Indyke, folks, after everything we've heard about him, about the criminality he's been engaged in from day one with Jeffrey Epstein, do you really think that this man should be administering the estate of Jeffrey Epstein? Of course not. There has to be some sort of mechanism to remove this man. Epstein's attorney should be concerned about his own liability, given that he asked how to evade requirements. I would not be surprised if SDNY federal prosecutors tried to put pressure on this attorney in order to convince him to cooperate against Epstein's other associates, Mariotti wrote. But any cooperation would be complicated by potential attorney-client privilege issues. I've prosecuted lawyers and later represented lawyers who were under investigation, and prosecuting a lawyer is never easy. Immunity in exchange for the lawyer's cooperation is a possibility, depending on what the lawyer did and how helpful he can be. Well, we know for a fact that the SDNY goes after lawyers. They went after Cohen, Trump's lawyer, right? And not only went after him, they hung old boy from on high. So we know that the SDNY is not going to shy away from that, because they will go after lawyers. They have done it, obviously, already. So I would not be shocked to see them go after Indyke. I've already said on record here that I believe that after all is said and done, Indyke's going to need lawyers of his own. In an interview with Law and Crime, CNN legal analyst Eli Honig, a former SDNY prosecutor, said he largely agrees with Mariotti's take. Basically, anything that will give SDNY leverage can potentially be used to flip those who may have been involved in criminal activity, Honig said. If you have a lawyer who is intentionally breaking off transactions to avoid triggering reporting requirements, that's a violation of federal law, which is certainly something that could be used as leverage to flip somebody. For sure. And that's what I've said to you here forever, right? That's what they do in these federal investigations. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen people get broken down by the federal government this way. They will use whatever they can to get you to flip on your friends or flip on your associates. And that's how it works. And if they have some leverage on Indyke in this regard, you better believe Allison Moe and company are going to use it, and they're going to leverage him. Honig explained that while attorney-client privilege would certainly complicate the matter, that privilege would not attach to criminal conduct. There's a crime fraud exception to attorney-client privilege, meaning that if the conversations were in furtherance of a contemplated or ongoing crime, then the content of those conversations are no longer protected by privilege, Honig added. Former federal and state prosecutor Daniel R. Alonzo suggested SDNY was likely already investigating the unnamed attorney. 100%. This is a vast investigation, and the grand jury is still convened. They're investigating many angles and many people. And unnamed lawyer, a.k.a. Darren Indyke, is most assuredly, in my opinion, one of them. Here's a tweet from Daniel R. Alonzo talking about how he agrees with Hanato Mariotti's breakdown of the situation. Very true. And note that structuring is also used very frequently to establish probable cause to obtain search warrants. Given that we know, given what we know about this, it is likely the government has been investigating this lawyer for some time. And this is all part of the larger, grandiose investigation, right? And they only need something like this to use as probable cause to get their foot in the door. And then once the foot is in the door, we see how that ends up. According to the consent agreement, which did not sugarcoat Deutsche Bank's turning of a blind eye to Epstein, the bank properly classified Epstein as a high-risk client, but didn't take necessary precautions and didn't examine suspicious transactions associated with exorbitant cash spending. So basically, they look the other way. They didn't take any of their FinCEN responsibilities seriously, and they avoided all of these obvious money laundering type transactions. The bank was well aware not only that Mr. Epstein had pled guilty and served prison time for engaging in sex with a minor, but also that there were public allegations that his conduct was facilitated by several named co-conspirators. Despite this knowledge, the bank did little or nothing to inquire into or block numerous payments to named co-conspirators and to or on behalf of numerous young women, or to inquire how Mr. Epstein was using, on average, more than $200,000 per year in cash, the agreement stated. They basically gave Jeffrey Epstein the keys to the kingdom and told him, financially, you can run amok. Do whatever you want. You can spend as much. I mean, you can move as much money as you want here. Put as much money as you want in the bank. Take it out. Whatever you want. And while you're at it, go ahead and just send over your smurf, your beard. And he could take out as much as he wants to. Well, they never thought the house of cards was going to come down around them. And now, all of these chickens are coming home to roost, and people like unnamed lawyer here, aka Mr. Indyke, are looking at a world of pain. If you'd like to contact me, you could do that at bobbycappucci@protonmail.com. That's BOBBYCAPUCCI at protonmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at @BOBBY_CAPUCCI. All of the links that go with this episode can be found in the description box.